William Henry, of course, is the investigative mythologist, regular contributor here to Coast AM, deals with Stargates, Revelation 2012. He has been all over the planet seeking answers to these mysteries. And here he is. What have you been up to?
Oh, my gosh, George. I've had an amazing time since we last spoke. I guess it was back in March. And I've been in Italy. I've been in England twice. I just had a spectacular UFO encounter on July 4th up at the East Seti Ranch up in Washington. And things just are just absolutely phenomenal for me. Thank you.
Okay, that's great. Now, you have looked at some of the greatest mysteries on this planet, William, trying to get answers. In your entire career, what is the mystery that you would love to solve? The one mystery.
Well, it's fresh in mind. It's how was the image on the Shroud of Turin created? Because to me, that is the mystery of mysteries, or it could potentially, let me put it this way, be a relic of the ultimate secret, how a man could raise himself from the dead, how we can take our body and spin it into a vortex of light and then exist as an immortal being in eternity as a star being.
Are you convinced that the Shroud of Turin is authentic? I don't know if it was Jesus or not, but in terms of something very mystical happened to the Shroud.
Absolutely. And I can't say for sure. I don't think anybody can say for sure that it was Jesus. And that's why I went to visit the Shroud. It goes on display only once every 10 years. And I had to see it and had a fantastic experience with the Shroud. The display of the Shroud was quite powerful, was very moving, walking along with thousands of people and then seeing the Shroud. I had an amazing meditation in front of the Shroud. And if it is real and it has been considered to be an authentic relic, then it suggests that what we're dealing with here is some kind of extraordinary alteration of the surface of that linen shroud by some effect of light or radiation. We know it's not pigment. It's not any kind of paint. It appears to have been a light energy coming from that body that not only imaged the body, but also the surrounding objects, including markings on the tops of coins.
What was it like visiting the Shroud, and how close were you able to get to it?
Well, it was powerful because the basilica where it was being presented was in a garden, so it was a very meditative kind of feeling walking through this garden. They had a very interesting display of various somewhat unusual paintings of Jesus, some I had never seen. And then they showed a short film just as you get into the anteroom before going in to see the Shroud, and that was fascinating. They were highlighting the man of light that you see etched onto the Shroud. And then when you actually get in there, the Shroud, first of all, is much longer than you usually imagine. It's in a glass case, of course, and you get to stand, well, we got to stand for about 3 to 5 minutes in front of the Shroud. There must have been 1,000 people in the room. Most people then would cycle out of the room, but if you chose to, you could remain in the chapel and meditate in front of the Shroud, and that's what my girlfriend and I did. And it was kind of funny, George, because when I get in front of the Shroud, I'm in the Great Pyramid or wherever, I'll just say, Pyramid, tell me your secrets. Shroud, tell me your secrets, and cause you never know. And the next thing I know, in my meditation, this golden angel came down out of just nowhere, descended into my crown chakra, and just kind of filled me with this kind of golden feeling. After, I asked Claire, who was also meditating, if she experienced anything. She had a golden orb in her third eye the time she was meditating. So we had very complementary experiences meditating in front of the Shroud.
William, you had an experience around the 4th of July like so many other people did around the Midwest. You had some kind of UFO encounter.
I did, George. A little bit of backstory here. I was up at James Gilliland's East Seti Ranch. I was presenting at his conference up there. My talk was about these seraphim angels. These are the highest order of angels. They're portrayed in Christian art as having these kind of vortex bodies. Very, very powerful images of these angels. And I told the story of how I had been in Italy looking into the story of St. Francis, who received the stigmata wounds from Jesus as one of these seraphim angels. And in this art, Christ is portrayed as this red angel, as this winged Christ angel based on St. Francis's experience. And I talked about the connection between the seraphim. The term seraphim means flying serpent or winged serpent or fiery serpent, and how that is that definition is connected to the definition of Quetzalcoatl, the Mayan winged serpent or flying serpent figure who's supposed to be appearing around 2012. And I asked, is it possible, based on that definition, that we might start looking around for appearances of these seraphim angels? After my talk, James says, we're going to open a Stargate after this. And, of course, a bunch of people laughed. And then he does this thing he calls a clearing, in which he brings in these various kind of ET energies. And it's after that, it's twilight, it's 9:30. We walk outside. There's probably 40 of us, including James and I, are standing there talking. We're admiring Venus, which is stunningly beautiful, the only light in the sky. Then all of a sudden, this orange, fiery orange light just downshifts right in front of us and gently floats over us for about 45 seconds. We've got it on videotape. It's on my blog on williamhenry.net.